What's going on, friends? It's Anton Daniels, and I got to have a conversation with you guys about Teach Henley because you see how the sun is hitting me? This is no finesse, no makeup, no filters, no none of that. This is 100% Teach Henley. I use it in the morning as soon as I get up, right after I pray and brush my teeth, jump in the shower, and I'm hitting the streets because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. So even though they're giving you 40% off your first order, 20% off for life, even though you may get a free gift, forget all that, right? Because we would do this even if it was full price because it's worth that much. I'm in the streets, I'm kicking it with people and I see dusties everywhere. You don't want to be them. You want to separate yourself. And the way that you separate yourself is self-care. Ladies get it for the fellas. Fellas don't wait for the ladies to get it for you. I'm about to hit the streets right now and I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling great. I mean, I already got confidence, but to have that extra boost of confidence, knowing that you've taking care of yourself and you set yourself apart from all of the rest of the sheep that's walking around making bad decisions on a daily basis. And it's reflected in their actions. It's reflected in the products that they use. It's reflected in the people that they follow. And so if you're trying to level up, if you're trying to make sure that you look good, they're going to send you the pack. They're going to give you all of the instructions on how you're supposed to use it. Then make sure you get your Teach Henley. Again, 40% off your first order, 20% off for life. Get your free gift. Make sure you tap in with your boy Anton Daniels because Unc is never going to lead you wrong. I would never have you use a product that I don't use myself. Again, they've been rocking with me for a long time. Make sure you get your Teach Henley. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm going to holler at you guys later. What's going on? It's Anton from AntonDaniels.com. I appreciate you guys for continuing to rock with me. Again, occasionally, maybe once, twice, three times later, you may get me giving you a premiere on the Millionaire Morning Show instead of coming to you directly live. Now, it's a strong possibility that I'm still on a flight because I have a 12-hour flight, but I am watching this with you. So shout out to everybody that's still with us. Of course, we got to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way like usual. The show may be slightly shorter simply because I don't have the ability to be able to interact with my co-host in chat. However, I am still with you. I am still watching. And we are rocking out as a community like we always are. So let's just continue doing exactly what we always do. I appreciate you for being here, sharing this stream. If this is more than one time that you've been here, then please subscribe so that you know that we do this every single weekday because I want to get y'all off on y'all day. Every day, you know what I'm saying, in the best mindset possible, reaching you early so that you go through with the right motivation and the right mindset that you'll be able to be successful, all right? So if you haven't already, price of admission is to hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications. Teach Henley, 40% off your first order plus 20% off a life. Thank you, Teach, for always holding me down. Ladies, get it for the fellas. Fellas, don't wait for the ladies to get it for you. It is a phenomenal product. Also, make sure you tap into the Patreon. Link is in the description. Don't be dusty. Get into the Patreon. Let's rock out. And then last but not least, we have an upcoming live show that I wanted to kick it with y'all in person. And I wanted to formally invite you, use discount code Anton, A-N-T-O-N, put that into the description, and then hit apply. But the links is in the description for y'all to kick it with me. Upcoming shows is Atlanta, and then Detroit, November 2nd, December 14th. Come and kick it with your boy. Do not delay. Do not wait. We are almost, I don't know, maybe like 11 days away from the Atlanta show. So November 2nd, Atlanta, December 14th in Detroit, and then we're going to get it popping, all right? Y'all ready to get started with the show? All right, you know what we do. Again, buckle up, let's get it popping. It feels so weird not to have y'all here with me live as I'm recording this, but you're getting it less than 12, 10 hours later, and so it's almost like we still here. So I'm with you, you with me. We a community, we a group, we rocking out. What is it, Thursday? So make sure y'all tap in the after hours. We still doing it in after hours. We in Bucharest. We in Romania. And we going to continue to rock out because we never miss. And I don't want to hear any excuses from any of y'all that's out there making excuses as to why you can't go and get to that bag. Because if I can do it, then you can do it. All right? You know what we do. Quick Hits, ladies and gentlemen. Quick Hits is a segment of the show that we don't necessarily think that we need to dedicate an entire segment to each individual subject. But we definitely want to keep y'all in the loop on what's going on in these streets, man. All right, first things first, North Korea troops is now confirmed to be in Russia to help them fight the Ukraine war. Check it out.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin now saying there is evidence that North Korea has sent troops to Russia. Austin calling this development serious and warning of possible consequences. Our international correspondent Jason Bellini joins us live now in studio. And Jason, what else do we know at this point?
I know. Well, what we know at this hour is that we're expecting today there to be images, satellite images. This is according to U.S. officials who say they've been monitoring North Korean ships that they say are delivering these North Korean troops to eastern Russia, to bases there. And for Ukraine and also for the world generally, this is really just a watershed moment. It was confirmed today by Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin when he was speaking to reporters in Rome, when he called this a very serious situation.
We are seeing evidence that that there are North Korean troops that have gone to Africa. Now, what exactly? Excuse me, not Africa, but Russia. What exactly they're doing? Left to be seen.
Was that a slip up? Wait. Was that a slip up? Let's continue.
There are things that we need to sort out. We'll have more for you on that later. But yeah, as we continue to look at this, there is evidence that there are DPRK troops in Russia.
And we may be seeing that evidence soon. The Ukrainian and South Korean governments, well, they've been saying that this has been underway. They've been saying this for weeks, but the top U.S. military official acknowledged this development. That really helps validate these images we're looking at right now. They were released by Ukrainian intelligence, and what they're reported to be is North Korean soldiers receiving uniforms and equipment at a training ground in Russia's Far East, Dell.
You know, it's interesting because you're right. South Korea has been warning about this. Is there any indication, though, as to when and where Russia plans on deploying these troops? Because that, as they say, is a horse of a different color.
Well, not from the U.S. They're not saying when and where. But you've got the head of Ukraine's military intelligence telling a respected defense publication just yesterday that he expected North Korean troops to arrive on the battlefield as early as today. And they're being deployed, he said, to the Kursk region of Russia. This is the area where Ukraine says it sees about 500 square miles of territory. This was since its surprise incursion in early August. And President Zelensky has said the point of that incursion was to put pressure on Putin to try to get him to relocate his most experienced units from Ukraine's east, where they've been making significant advances on the battlefield. And Putin didn't take the bait. So if Ukraine's military intel chief is correct, it makes sense that Russia would be sending North Koreans to help drive Ukrainians from their territory down.
This is all interesting. I'm sure that the soldiers from North Korea will probably be fed better. But as an American, I don't want any new wars. And so I always bring it back to what our interests are inside of America right now, because we got our own wars within America as far as on the front lines of our homeless crisis. And then you got the migrant crisis. And then you got most of these cities, which just so happen to be blue, are the ones that's going out of business and is about to be filing for bankruptcy soon. And you got Chicago that's combining homeless shelters and migrant shelters in order to try to save money. So that's what's going on with the war over there in Ukraine. I know it's not as popular when it first popped off, but I got to keep you guys informed on what's happening out in these streets. In addition to that, an E. coli outbreak is being tied to McDonald's and is weighing down on its stock. Check it out.
Topping the 10 tonight, a deadly E. coli outbreak linked to a popular McDonald's menu item, the Quarter Pounder.
The CDC is investigating the Chicago-based fast food chain after dozens of people got sick and at least one has died. Our Jermon Terry is at McDonald's headquarters breaking down what we know tonight. Jermon?
Joe and Erica, this is the Quarter Pounder, and it is linked to that E. coli outbreak. You can still buy one here in the Chicago area, but already...
Wait. Did y'all just go in there and actually buy a Quarter Pounder to use it as a prop? You gotta give me a break, y'all. Come on, man. Let's continue.
10 states have pulled this from the menu. The McDonald's Corporation insisting they're working hard to get to the source before it spreads.
The Golden Arches are a bit dimmed. The Chicago-based company McDonald's is tied to an E. coli outbreak.
E. coli is a bacteria, grows from the gut of animals, and sometimes that can get contaminated with food.
The famous quarter pounder has been linked to, according to the Centers for Disease Control, to 49 cases and one death in a three-week period. Dr. Nick Cozy is an emergency room physician at Rush Hospital.
The specific strain is something that we learn about as physicians because of how serious it can be, and specifically can present in a few different ways. Fever, diarrhea, upset stomach, and bloody diarrhea specifically.
Right now, Illinois is not one of the 10 states where the 49 people have fallen ill.
Wait. So how Illinois is not one of the states, but Hamburger University is literally where the headquarters are? I don't know. And then last but not least, Tiffany Hinyard apparently is running away from sheriffs that is trying to serve her with eviction papers. Check it out.
Rob, as it happens, there was no Thornton Township meeting to speak of, but Tiffany Henyard's landlord showed up here to see her tenant in person after she says Henyard has been dodging both her and rent payments for months.
Thank you guys for coming out this evening. We are waiting to see if we have a call.
Tuesday evening, Thornton Township Supervisor Tiffany Henyard sat idly waiting to preside over yet another stunted bi-monthly board meeting. Without enough board members to proceed, to Henyard's great frustration, the meeting ended before it even began.
And our job is to come, pay the bills, pass ordinances if need be, and make sure you understand what it is that we have been doing for an entire month. So eventually we will end up in court because this cannot and will not go on.
Tiffany Henyard's landlord, Janetta Hull, is feeling the same exasperation.
I'm just here because I'm at wit's end and I fear that I'm going to go into foreclosure soon if I can't get this matter handled.
Hulls?
Wait a minute. Let me put some landlord in it. As a landlord myself, that would be very bothersome to me that you have a city official that is presiding over government business and is supposed to be managing the government more effectively, but you can't even manage your own resources and household and pay your rent on time. And this is a woman that makes somewhere between $240,000 and $300,000 a year between her two jobs, and she can't pay the rent on time to that woman that is saying that she's possibly going to be facing foreclosure because basically Tiffany Henyard has become a squatter. It's crazy.
Says Henyard and the man with whom she shares the home, Kamal Woods, haven't paid the $2,400 per month rent on the Dalton home they leased from her for October or September. In August, she says they paid just $2,200.
I would have told the judge that she owes me $5,000 in behind rent, plus whatever the late fees are.
She would have told the judge, but she says neither Henyard nor Woods showed up for a court date Tuesday. Court documents show Cook County Sheriff's deputies have tried and failed to serve Henyard and Woods with eviction papers earlier this month, both at home and Dalton Village Hall. And when Hull showed up to this home Saturday for maintenance, she says she was locked out, locks and garage door code altered.
I'm just bewildered because the same things that she's doing to the trustees and changing locks in the offices, it's the same thing she does to everyone. It's not just them.
Yeah, Tiffany Henyard, she gotta go. And of course, you know what my stance is that I believe that you guys deserve her. I do. I think that you guys deserve a good Tiffany Henyard butt whooping on a regular basis. But if y'all wind up voting this woman, because I do believe that this woman could possibly become mayor again, I think she could win it because it's not like y'all had a large voter turnout rate anyway. And so y'all are the ones that then, elect the officials that are in office that ruin your cities and your communities. But she got to go. She would have to go from the city. She would have to flee the state. She got to get up out of there. She can't be an administrator. I also believe that in order for you to preside over city business, you maybe should show or demonstrate a level of financial literacy. Because how can you then manage millions of dollars, potentially billions of dollars, if you are in a larger city, but you can't even pay your rent on time and a landlord is talking about the possibility of getting foreclosed on? Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, that is your quick hits. All right, we're going to go ahead and just get straight into the show because obviously we don't have anything to read. Again, I would encourage you guys to make sure that you subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications, tab into the Patreon, and then make sure you get your tickets. Of course, Teach Henley is always sponsoring what we got going over here over on the Millionaire Morning Show. Y'all ready to get it started? Y'all ready to get it popping? All right, let's get to it. So first things first, Tulsi Gabbard recently appeared at a Trump rally, and then she made a special announcement to switch over and to become a Republican. Check it out. Again, make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. That's right.
And we also have former Democrat Congresswoman and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate, a woman that everybody loves. I watched her years ago where she just had so much common sense. You know, we're the party of common sense. I like to say it because it's true, like, we don't want men playing in women's sports. We want to have borders. We want to have fair elections. You know, little things like that. Common sense, right? But she's here tonight, and I'm going to just ask her to come up and say a couple of words. Tulsi Gabbard.
Notice how we are so far away from normal that what we deem as normal or humanistic has now become perverted. Like Trump said, we have to sit here and have weird conversations about men playing in women's sports. And even on Monday night, a lot of times when I ask people on the panel and I said, hey, what is a woman? And the guy, a grown man, an adult male told me that a woman is whatever it is somebody identify as. And then they started arguing with me about gender and sex specific. Listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the tool shed. I am not the wisest man in the world, but one thing I do know and two things is for certain is that you're not going to try to fool me and tell me that left is right when right ain't. Give me a second. Don't worry about it. Tulsi Gabbard, ladies and gentlemen. Oh! See how much of a gentleman Trump is. He way pulled down the microphone.
Thank you very much. Aloha. You know, I was a Democrat for over 20 years. Today's Democrat, thank you. Today's Democrat Party is completely unrecognizable, which points to the clear choice that we have in this election today. When you look at the party of Kamala Harris, for example, she is anti-freedom, she is pro-censorship, she is pro-open borders, and she is pro-war. Without even pretending to care about peace, as President Trump talked about, she has shamelessly embraced the endorsement and support of warmongers like Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, and others who care more about power and feeding the military-industrial complex than they care about you, the American people, and peace. President Trump has pledged to end wars, not start them. And this is why, in the eyes of the Kamala Harris-Dick Cheney Democrat Party, they will do everything possible to try to destroy him.
And you know what the worst part about this is that it's true because we've actually seen an example of it when he was in office from 2016 through 2020. And so because we had no new wars, maybe the military-industrial complex was suffering financially. And even though we had unprecedented peace and we had a whole lot of money that was flowing through the United States of America, they want to make you broke. They are the party of war. And it's amazing that Democrats don't even open up their eyes to the truth that's sitting right in front of you. Right in front of you. But we're going to get to it. We got a lot more to get to today. Let's rock.
You'll see how they have weaponized the federal government. They have weaponized law enforcement, the Department of Justice. They have done everything possible to try to silence him, to try to remove him from the ballot. So we, the people, don't even have the choice to who we want to vote for. Why have they done this? Because this man has the courage to take them on and root out the deep rot of corruption in the swamp in Washington. Now, voters have made their voices heard loud and clear, not once, not twice, but three times in the last three presidential elections, nominating this man to be the Republican nominee for president because of his commitment to these fundamental American principles of freedom and peace and prosperity. USA.
Crowd is loud, ain't it?
Now, to those of you here or those watching at home who are independent-minded people like myself, who love our country and are committed to the Constitution and to freedom, the Democrat Party has no home for people like us. But we do have a home in the Republican Party where we are welcomed with open arms by President Trump and so many of you who love our country. And it is because of my love for our country, and specifically because of the leadership that President Trump has brought to transform the Republican Party and bring it back to the party of the people and the party of peace, that I'm proud to stand here with you today, President Trump, and announce that I'm joining the Republican Party.
How bad do you have to be to lose a star like Tulsi Gabbard? Or has the Democratic Party, which is led now by Kamala Harris, because she's the one at the top of the ticket, has the Democratic Party become so toxic, similar to women catfighting, to where now, because Tulsi Gabbard has become probably public enemy number two right after Trump and Kamala Harris's administration's eyes, to where they basically pushed out a rising star in Tulsi Gabbard. Remember, a lot of people don't really know, and maybe I'll go back and do a throwback show, a modern, in real time throwback show, to show y'all exactly how this woman absolutely decimated and destroyed Kamala Harris and why y'all chose not to vote for her in any capacity outside of Biden selecting her to become the DEI hire and vice president that then helped him win the White House, because we know that we all vote based off of identity politics if you get enough push behind you, sort of like a record label. So what the political party of the left did was they handpicked her as a part of the bullpen. We never voted for her. Nobody cared for her. She's largely regarded as one of the worst vice presidents in U.S. history. We seen her say that she was at the table for all of the decisions that was happening within the Republican Party. But yet we still hold on to this narrative and this thought that somehow, some way, she's for us. Somehow, some way, she makes sense to be the president of the United States of America when she was a tie-breaking vote for most of the legislation that we see today that's affecting our lives in a negative way. So welcome to the Republican Party. I already considered Tulsi Gabbard to be a part of the Republican Party anyway, but to have her officially announce it within days, less than 2 weeks away, man, we are so close to this election. We are so close to election day. I hope y'all really informed. I hope y'all looked at what's going on inside of y'all counties. I hope y'all paying attention to who y'all supposed to be electing, not only on the national level, but on a local level. I hope y'all really focused and y'all really getting engaged on what's going on in these streets, because this is literally the most important election in our children's and our lifetime. We are going to set the precedent. Either we're going to put the country on the right path of greatness, or we're going to absolutely fail and let it go down into the dumps.
I'm joining the party of the people, the party of equality, the party that was founded to fight against and end slavery in this country. It is the party of common sense and the party that is led by a president who has the courage and strength to fight for peace. So, as we stand here today, we have 14 days until the most historic election of our lives. And my message to my fellow Americans, regardless of your political affiliation, now is the time for us to stand together to save our country. There is nothing less than that that's on the line. A vote for President Trump is a vote for a big open tent party that welcomes people from all backgrounds and all walks of life. A vote for President Trump is a vote to express our deep love for our country and our appreciation for our God-given rights and freedoms enshrined in the Constitution. A vote for President Trump is a vote for secure borders and safe communities, and a vote for President Trump is a vote for peace here in America and around the world. I'm looking forward to casting my vote for President Trump because you are our best and only hope in this election to lead our country toward a future where every one of us can live in a truly free, peaceful, and prosperous nation. Every single vote will count. This is our opportunity to vote for freedom, to vote for peace, to vote for America, and vote for President Trump to go back to the White House and make America great again. Thank you so much.
Yo, that's dope. It seems like she's been riding with him and riding for him for a long time now. So shout out to Tulsi Gabbard. Now, as a part of the Republican Party, I'm sure when Trump wins, not if, but when he wins, she will be a cabinet member or she will be some form of a significant presence inside of the White House, which is something that I'm comfortable with. Obviously, we have a bullpen that's a part of the Republican Party that's loaded, absolutely loaded. And so I think that that's the best move for him and that's the best move for her. And she absolutely picked the right team. When we gonna start picking the right team? Anyways, let's continue on with the show. So Laura Trump appeared on The Breakfast Club, and I'm not sure why Charlamagne and DJ Envy and The Breakfast Club, who obviously are all biased and obviously are left-leaning and obviously, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, displays a lot of forms of racism. But I don't know why they keep bringing up all of the all-stars of the Republican Party. They even brought up Jill Stein as a part of what, the Green Party? And they got absolutely washed. But here we are. Laura Trump, for those of you that don't know, Laura Trump is actually the wife of Eric Trump. So she's Trump's daughter-in-law that is now participating and helping him to win the election and playing a role in his political career, right? So she obviously went up against The Breakfast Club, and people are telling me that she absolutely washed and destroyed The Breakfast Club. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what she had to say. Let's dive into it. Let's see if we can scrub into the part where she really gets into it.
Wake that ass up.
This point, and I've been in this position since March. It's been a wild ride. This mm-hmm. is the probably one of the craziest times in politics anyone can remember, and mm-hmm. so I'm honored to do it.
Your father-in-law has a lot to do with that.
Well, you know, actually the RNC committee members have to vote you into this position. Mm-hmm. Now, I did get a call from him.
Charlamagne is so biased. He is so biased and he's so corny. Man, I wish I could debate the dude because he is dumber than a box of rocks, but he always got an opinion and he knows that he's wrong, but he stands on his ignorance real hard.
Back in January one night, and he said, I think you should run for this position. And to be honest, I said, I have two young kids. My kids are 5 and 7 now. I have a lot of personal endeavors that, you know, I have underway as well. I said, I don't know if this is the job for me right now, knowing how big this election was going to be, knowing what laid ahead of me. But he convinced me to run for it. And then the committee members at the RNC voted me into this position. And I'm honored to do it.
Have you been a lifelong Republican? Or?
You know, I would say yes. Mm-hmm. I've always voted Republican. But, you know, politics were never a big thing discussed in my household when I was growing up. I grew up in southeastern North Carolina. And, you know, I think that naturally I gravitated towards more conservative values, but we never really discussed it. But yeah, I've always voted Republican.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's find out who Laura Trump is. So you're married to Trump's son, Eric.
Yes.
Where did you guys meet? And, you know, explain that, break that down so people know your history and where you came from and how you got into politics. Yeah, politics wasn't your thing at first.
No. Well, it wasn't anyone's thing with the last name Trump, if we're all honest, for a long time. Mm-hmm. I grew up in southeastern North Carolina, like I said, and I moved here. I moved to New York in 2007. I actually moved here to go to culinary school.
Okay.
Of all things.
So you're a chef. You can chef it up.
Yeah. Well, now don't ask my husband because he gives me a hard time about this. I'm technically a pastry chef. I went to the French culinary.
Yeah. So you can only cook the pastries, not the other stuff.
Well, I can.
Like, he won't starve, but that's not really a thing.
Well, no, he gives me a hard time because I used to make him like ice cream cakes. I'd make the ice cream from scratch, the whole thing from scratch. And then he would go on like a keto diet. And on keto, you can't have sugar.
Right.
So all of my, it would get freezer burn in the freezer. So I'm like, well, why am I going to go out of my way to make these cakes for you if we're not eating them? Anyway, he'll argue that it was a bait and switch.
You were trying to make him fat.
I pulled him in.
Yeah, you were trying to make him
and
fat.
And then I stopped making him these cakes.
So you're not a chef. You're more of like a baker.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, because they're different. Different, actually. If you look at pastries and pastry chefs, it is based on a lot of chemistry versus a regular chef who's just doing like savory dishes. There's a lot of, you can just like toss a little of this in, toss a little of that. And if you do that in baking, your cake isn't going to rise the right amount or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So a little more technical, but.
You can already tell that she's incredibly intelligent. You can already tell that because, listen, the Trump campaign and their people and their family is not going to sit anybody out there that don't know what they're talking about. So you can already tell. And this is the part where, you know, they're supposedly getting, hey, familiarize yourself to the audience. Tell us who you are and all of this stuff. But what they should be doing if they were smart, if I'm Charlemagne, I'm gauging and I'm measuring, you know, who this person is because they obviously mismeasured when it came to Vivek Ramaswamy. They was off when it came to Byron Donalds. They off when it comes to a lot of people. So when you see these people pull up and they saying what they saying, you should be measuring them and seeing, okay, is this person that I can test? No, okay, well, we're going to go from there. But let's continue.
But yeah, I moved to New York to go to culinary school. And Eric and I met out one night in Manhattan. I mean, it's like, when does this happen? This is back in the day. I had a Razor phone. I won't tell you how long ago that was. But no, I certainly never had any inclination when I moved to New York that I would ever have the last name Trump. I am not a Trump by birth, and I certainly probably did not have the same upbringing as my husband. I think I probably grew up like a lot of people in America.
That's kind of good because you can get out whenever you want.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's great. And I moved here. I met Eric out one night. I had no idea that a guy named Eric Trump even existed, but you guys probably saw when I walked in, I'm a tall drink of water. And when I have heels on, I'm like 6'2".
Oh, so you walked in pumping.
Yeah.
And he was like, who that?
Yeah, well, I saw across the room. I was like, well, who's that guy who's taller than I am with my heels on? I said, this could work out. And little did I know, here we are. Gosh, 16 years
So all you look for
later.
Is height? That's all it takes?
That's what drew me in, Charlemagne. Okay. But it takes a little more than that. And to be honest with you, when I found out who he was, I said, well, I think I'll go out on a date with this guy and I'll probably just have a story to tell because you have in your mind what someone with the last name Trump would be like.
He's going
to
be an a-hole.
Right. I mean, to be honest with you. And we went out to dinner and we.
You know, Envy going to throw in his little dumb shot. You thought he's going to be an a-hole. Envy, shut up. Just be quiet for a minute, Envy, because when I think of somebody with the name Envy, I think we going to let the reputation that he has proceed in him. I think simp. How about that? I think simp. Beta.
He did not order food for 4 hours because we had such a good conversation going. He was so down to earth. He was, I mean, honestly, I hate to use the word normal, but he was normal and like anyone else I'd ever met. And I was so impressed with all the things he said to me and our conversation was great. And that's what really drew me in, and that's what it took for me.
Well, I got one question. Now,
you were said before you went.
I should have. I did not. No, we had some drinks, but we didn't order food. And, I felt bad, not to cut you off, Charlene. Mm-hmm. I feel bad because I've been a waitress for a long time, and I know.
They hate that.
Mm-hmm. I said, I hope we leave her a good tip. Mm-hmm. So
well,
whoever
you are.
I hope Eric Trump left her a good tip. I'll have to ask him about that.
Well, why give the asshole the chance? Like, if you said to yourself, his last name is Trump, I thought he was an asshole, why would that make you want to go on a date with him?
I mean, I think my initial.
I don't think that she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you guys will be able to rewind this, but I'm not sure that she said that he was an asshole. I don't think that that's what she said. She says a person with the last name Trump. And see, this is why I don't like this. And this is the same thing that you see in the culture and the community. And you see people that are so biased and they're so racist and they already got their mind made up on who you are before they ever meet you, instead of having an open mind and having a discussion. Because one thing that I get a lot of flack from, and this is how I know that the culture is backwards, one thing I get a lot of flack from is if people don't like the person that I'm interviewing or that I'm having on my platform, then they ask me, why are you doing this? Or why are you doing? Because I want to know what they think. I want to know what their mindset is. I'm curious as to who they are. And you know, my goal is not necessarily to debate you. You see what happens when I debate somebody. It get a little different. We all witnessed what happened a couple days ago. It's not a debate. It's an interview. It's my opportunity to learn as much as I can and not be in an echo chamber with somebody that I may or may not disagree with. It's not about even whether I disagree with them. It's about getting all of the insight, all of the information in the context. So, you know, as long as they've been on this platform, The Breakfast Club, to see how stupid they are and how ignorant they operate is unfortunate. It's absolutely unfortunate. And it's a case study on how not to use your influence and clout to look like an idiot and get embarrassed by a person that's graced you with the opportunity to be able to come up here and have this conversation with you and accepted your invite and request. But he'll throw underhanded shots, and he never met Eric Trump before in his life. Probably don't even know who he is, but automatically called him an asshole. Okay. All right.
Well, like knee jerk was, oh, this guy's going to be like, I'm not going to like him. But we communicated, you know, gotcha. We talked on the phone, and he seemed relatively okay. So I said, all right, let me go see what this is about. And yeah.
So when did you work at Inside Edition too, right?
I sure did.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a background in a communication media degree from NC State. Shout out to the Wolfpack.
Mm-hmm. I'm so mad that I ever even supported Charlamagne.
I bought a book of his just to support him for five years until
so aggravated,
his escalator
bro.
Ride in Trump Tower. Mm-hmm. And now my life is politics.
How working at Inside Edition as a producer, did you not know who he was?
This was before I worked there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I worked at, this is when I was in culinary school.
Got you. What year was that?
This was 2008.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did it switch to politics? Because, you know, it was a big, happy entertainment family, and then politics hit. And when you started hearing the politics talk, did you believe it? Did you say, no way, this cannot possibly happen? Walk us through that, because I don't think anybody ever thought that Donald Trump would make it to president. It just didn't seem like, because he wasn't a quote-unquote politician.
Yeah. Well, he was friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if you look back at Donald Trump's history, you know, he last night we were at the Al Smith dinner, and mm-hmm. he was right there next to Chuck Schumer. And he said to Chuck Schumer, who's obviously a Democrat senator, he said, I gave Chuck his first check ever when he was running for like assemblyman or something. So, yeah,
why Chuck was laughing so hard. Remember we asked why Chuck was laughing so hard? Chuck was laughing, boy.
They all turned against him. The very people that he supported, they all turned against him because he ain't nobody loyal. Nobody is loyal in these streets. Everybody is dirty. All of them eventually turned against Trump because nobody is loyal. It's dirty. Dude gave him his first check and he forgot where he came from. So I don't trust nobody, man.
I don't be liking the optics of that. Only reason I say I don't like the optics of that is because when you hear people like Chuck Schumer say things like Trump is a threat to democracy, but then you're sitting next to him yucking it up. Why would you be yucking it up with somebody who you consider a threat to democracy?
Well, you have to ask yourself that question, don't you? Maybe it's all scare tactics. Maybe it's a lot of fear mongering. Charlamagne, what I can tell you is I know Donald Trump. I have known him for 16 years, and Chuck Schumer's known him a lot longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows full well he's not a threat to democracy. And you don't even have to take my word for it. Look at what he did when he was in the White House. Like, there was never any threat to democracy when he was in the
Let me guess, he gonna bring up January 6th. Let me guess, he gonna bring up January 6th.
White House.
Well,
and
an
I would
attempt
actually,
to cool the country.
Well, that you can argue that a lot of different ways. Peacefully and patriotically make your
so predictable. People like this, you could just walk them right into the trap and let them fall in and let the bear eat them.
What was a coup was when they replaced Joe Biden with Kamala Harris, who was not elected by anyone to run for president. There are 14 million people who voted for Joe Biden to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And if you want to talk about a real threat to democracy, I would argue that.
That wasn't
but
a coup.
Laura,
though.
Did anyone die when that happened, though?
Well, no, not even that. Well, she was vice president. So
the only person who died was a woman who was there, actually very supportive of Donald Trump on
but
that day.
That's still a life loss. I'm just saying,
no,
the comparison is a bit.
We could go down the drastic line of people dying in a lot of different circumstances, and I would argue that list could get very long for the Democrats as well. But
she was vice president. She was on the ballot. People did vote for her. The delegates did vote for her at the DNC.
But would you, as a, I'm going to assume, a Democrat voter for a long time?
Unaffiliated.
Unaffiliated voter. Yeah.
Lies. Lies, 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 lies. Oh, and then people like this, they always try to, excuse me, they try to justify that argument saying, well, I didn't like this person as a Democrat either, and I didn't like that person as a Democrat either.
If you were a Democrat, maybe a Democrat here, would you guys, if you had the option to vote for someone other than Joe Biden to be the representative for you on the Democrat ticket, have chosen Kamala Harris to be that person?
Yes. I would have chosen Kamala Harris.
Lies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if they would have, then why didn't they in 2019? Come on, man. Come on, bro. She dropped out. She got washed in the 2019 debate by the person that we just did a review video of Tulsi Gabbard. Stop the cap. I can't stand people that lie to your face. Just stop. It ain't even that deep, bro. Just tell the truth.
I mean, I was a person that was calling for Joe Biden to step down for a very long time. And I think that there's, you know, when Joe Biden made a statement last year, he said there's about 50 of us that could beat Donald Trump. I was like, well, line them all up then. And I definitely had her as one of the people. Okay.
Even though she dropped out whenever she ran the first time before her home state voted, before Iowa, and she was polling solo, you still would have given her the shot. And, I mean, if you think back, too, at Kamala Harris, when Joe Biden, before he got pushed out of this position, before he really kind of took it up a notch with this campaign, people were saying Kamala Harris is the insurance policy for Joe Biden because she really is not a doing a great job as vice president. I mean, she got, you know.
Well, I'm a person who voted. I voted for that ticket because of her.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because
well,
that's
your
friend.
We've got a ticket coming up very soon and a vote very soon. It's early voting in a lot of places right now. But to answer your question, I know we kind of got sidetracked.
Yep.
But in politics, none of us in the family had obviously any experience in politics. But I had heard my father-in-law a lot, very upset about what he felt was wasteful. He felt like we weren't focused on America, that we were sending jobs overseas, businesses overseas, that the federal government was bloated and overspending. And he said, this isn't right. This isn't the America that I grew up in and that I think we should, you know, have as a great future for this country. And if you go back to an Oprah interview he did, I believe in the 80s, she asked him, would you ever run for president? And he said, only if things got so bad, I felt I had no other choice. And I feel like he thought the country really was on a bad path, and he wanted.
And it was, and we were booming when he became president of the United States of America, and Oprah turned on him too, and all of the rest of these people, and so all of a sudden it became Trump is racist, bad man Trump. Prior to 2016, everybody was rocking with him and everybody loved him, but it was the time that he decided that he wanted to do something better for his country instead of just for himself. And at that point was when everybody turned on you similarly to how they do it in everything else that happens in life. It happened in the biblical days. It's happening with Trump. It's happening all across the board. And we forgot who we are because we so busy hating and voting based off of identity politics. But she's absolutely right about her identification of who Trump is and who the people are that turned on him as a result of it.
Wanted to help bring it back. And so right before his famous Golden Escalator ride, we actually all sat down as a family. And I'll never forget this because it was one of those moments where, looking back, I say, gosh, he really had such good insight into what was about to happen. We all sat down as a family for dinner, and he talked us through, you know, I want to do this. This is definitely something that is real. Mm-hmm. But if I do this the right way, if I do what is needed, and I call the people out who need to be called out and expose the things that need to be exposed, they're going to come after us. And it's not just me. It's the whole family. And I think you guys need to really appreciate that. And I need to you to understand that and make sure everybody feels good about it. And of course, we were like, well, yeah, like how bad could it be? But the foresight he had into what we've seen happen to this man, and I don't think anyone can argue, if his name wasn't Donald Trump and he had never run for politics, I mean, you would never have seen any of the crazy things happen to him that have. So that was sort of where we all kind of got our intro into politics. Mm-hmm. I didn't become part of things really until I flew down to North Carolina in August of 2016 for a rally with my father-in-law to my hometown of Wilmington. And one thing led to another, and he told me that I was going to be responsible for winning him my home state, mm-hmm, of North Carolina in the 2016 election. And as a person who had no idea what I was doing in politics, I said, I better learn pretty quickly and get to work. And so that's what I did.
I wonder what he learned from the first time he ran.
Hold on, I just want to know, at that dinner, mm-hmm, did y'all say, you know what, well, let's put all our dirt on the table right now, because you know they're going to be coming at you. You know press is going to try anything that you guys have ever done. If you guys have stolen a Snicker bar from a store, they're going to come at that. Was that the dinner where you said, well, let's put everything on the table so we know what they're going to be attacking, or that never happened?
I'll be really honest. We really didn't have a lot to put on that table. And if you think that I'm lying, you really believe that anybody in the Trump family with the Trump last name wouldn't have had any and everything exposed by now? No, I mean, I think we naively thought, look, if you have good intentions and you do the right things and you're a good person, then, you know, if Donald Trump became president, I think we all thought after he won in 2016, oh, well, then all the craziness will stop. Everybody will rally behind the person who's president of the United States, because we should all want our president to be successful.
That used to be the way that it was.
That is success for America. And obviously, we were very wrong about
that.
Well,
two things. Well, I want to go back to one thing first. I wonder what he learned from his 2000 campaign that
2016 campaign?
Well, he ran in 2000 too, officially.
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't actually talked to him about that.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean,
I just brought that up because, you know, you said that, you know, when you talked about the vice president's campaign in 2020, sometimes campaigns aren't successful. Joe Biden ran a bunch of times before he actually won.
He sure did.
Trump won, ran before he actually won. That's why I brought that up.
Well, I don't know if he officially 2000. Ran.
In 2000,
well,
he did.
If he did, it didn't go very far from my memory. I don't know that
That's
there was any official announcement, as mm-hmm, far as I know. But look, I think he felt the right time was 2016. I think he looked at what was going on. And you know, this is a businessman. And I think a lot of what he did that was very beneficial to this country has to do with businesses, with the economy, with jobs. Those were things that were really important to him. And you hear him talk about it now. You know, he recently was talking about tariffs and how he wants to apply tariffs to countries who are, you know, it's really awful to see how so many jobs, factories have gone overseas. Mm-hmm. We want to see made in the USA on more. And you saw that happening when he was in the White House. You saw more people employed in this country than we've ever had employed in the history of America. You had more money in your pocket. You had inflation at 1.9%. It was a very different feeling when he was in the White House. And I think that's why you're seeing such great support for this man. You don't have to love everything he says. You don't have to love everything he posts on X or Truth Social or whatever. But you do have to be honest that your life probably felt a lot better with Donald Trump in the White House.
Now, why would anybody that is voting Democrat be honest? Why would they give him any credit for what their life was like and the opportunities that had presented itself at the time that he was president of the United States of America? Why would they do such a thing? Do you think that in any world, in any capacity, that a person that is liberal or a person that is made up in their mind that they're going to drink the Kool-Aid and they're going to read whatever they want to read so that they can then justify their hate for somebody else, is at any point going to sit here and tell you, yes, my life was better under Donald Trump than it was over the last 3.5 years. Get the hell out of here, bro. Get out of here. No, they would not. They would not. Come on. Come on. All I hear on this show today is rebuttals. Nobody can actually argue with her, and she can articulate herself really well. And she washing Charlamagne right now, even though he's come with all of these ad hominem attacks and all of this hate right now.
And I think that that's one of the reasons that he's working so hard, because he knows he can do the job. He did it one time before.
Question, why are tariffs considered good business when we know that it's going to cause the cost of typical American household items to go up significantly?
Well, he explained
like a bunch
this.
Of economists say that it'll cost the average American $2,600 extra a year.
I think that he...
That's the Kamala Harris talking point, ladies and gentlemen. A bunch of economists.
Explained this the other day when he was sitting down with, I believe it was Bloomberg, that, look, the reality is that it's going to force people to bring their companies back to the United States. And he really believes that.
But it's going to hurt a lot of American citizens in the process of that. Because it's not like these companies are going to turn up and change over, come back overnight.
Well, let's talk. I mean, if you want to talk about hurting American citizens, the first thing that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did, their first executive order in the White House, shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline. That was something that gave us our energy independence. It was so bad for America. That drove up gas prices. That caused inflation to continue to go sky high. It enriched our adversaries like Russia and Iran, because now they were supplying oil for the rest of the world instead of the United States. It put us in such a weakened state. So, you know, we want to drill, baby, drill. That's what Donald Trump always says. We have so much liquid gold.
Biden has drilled more than Trump.
Underneath our... Well, why did he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline?
I have no idea, but Biden, yeah.
Why
has
did
drilled
he drain
more
our
than Trump,
strategic petroleum reserves, which are actually supposed to be used for emergency situations, for war times. The things
but
that...
But have Biden drilled more than Trump?
I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Where?
She washing that
you
boy.
Can look it up. He's,
on Google.
He's drilled more than Trump.
Okay. Yeah. I don't believe that's true at all. And I,
it
I,
is.
Okay. Yeah. But Donald Trump was obviously a proponent of being energy independent and energy dominant as a country. And we are not right now. And that puts us in a very weakened state. And you would not have seen the issue in the Middle East right now. And you likely wouldn't have seen the issue with Russia and Ukraine had those countries, had Iran not had the funding and the money coming in from the oil, had Russia not had the funding and the money coming in from the oil. It's a terrible thing to see. And so, you know, I think that you can look at a lot of things and second guess them with Donald Trump and say, well, what about this? What about that? Think about how it felt. Think about how much more money you had in your pocket. Think about so many people were finally able to go on a vacation for the first time when he was in the White House. And those are real tangible things. And right now, life is very hard for so many people in this country. You know, I travel all over the place and I constantly am in airports and restaurants and I constantly am approached by people who say, I cannot afford not to vote for Donald Trump. And I think they really mean that. And whether you look at our southern border, the influx of people who've come in this country, it's detrimental to so many aspects of our society. It's something that we've spent so much money on here in New York, $12 billion over 3 years. It's costing the city of New York to house illegal immigrants. And so I think whenever push comes to shove and we're looking at this election right now, there's so many people who might not love everything Donald Trump's ever said, but they certainly want to go vote for him because they want their life back. They want more money in their pocket and they want a safer community and they want peace agreements.
There's a lot of people.
I wish we had the time and the capacity to look at this whole thing and just make it about Laura Trump, because Jesus, this woman is beating them down and she is hitting them with facts after facts after facts. But we got to move on. Let me see if Envy got a little bit. Let's play a little bit more.
But let's say that, you know.
Hold on real quick. I do want to just note that inflation is down, though.
It's coming down.
It's like the 2.5%.
It's coming
it's just
down,
that the
but
prices
it's not
are still
down,
so elevated.
But wage growth has not kept up with the rise in inflation, and it's causing people to really hurt.
I don't even think he understands how inflation works, but we're going to let her answer and see how she responds.
Around this country, they really can't make their basic ends meet right now.
I mean, inflation is down, but the prices are up. I mean, whose fault is that? That's more so the corporations than it is government.
Prices are, say that again?
Inflation is down, but the prices are up.
Inflation is not down nearly enough.
2.5%.
You can bring inflation down significantly, and I think if we had an energy independent country, it would really help.
Let me help y'all to understand how inflation works. Let's stop it there. This is how inflation has worked. So you can say, well, inflation is down. What are you talking about? Okay, so they've gotten it down to under 3%. But over the last 3.5 years, year after year after year, it was closer to 10%, which was unprecedented in our lifetime. So let's say that it did like this 1 year, and then this the next year, and then this the next year, and then it just did like this. Because now, year over year, inflation is only at 2.5, 2.6, 2.7, 2.8%. So it did like that, 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 and then it did like this. Okay, so inflation is down. No. But we don't have deflation. So what happens is your wages didn't go up as fast. And so just because inflation is doing like this, that doesn't mean it's going back like this. You see what I'm saying? So wages and wage growth and opportunities didn't keep up with inflation. So now that it's leveled out, doesn't mean that you don't have a total inflation above 20% during their presidency, which is still leaving you at a disadvantage because your wage growth, combined with the fact that people are losing their jobs and getting laid off and they already didn't have enough in order to survive or feed their families or pay all of their bills, or they had to downsize or they had to move in with their parents. When you see people like this that have conversations that have no insight as to what they're talking about or no information and don't understand what they're talking about, they make themselves look like fools to people that do. And sometimes it's even best to let them talk so that they can, you know, look even more foolish. But neither here nor there. That's Laura Trump. Laura Trump, everybody. That was phenomenal. Man, I wish I could get into that. But next time, maybe tomorrow. All right, so let's move over into the next part of the show. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton was questioned and asked, is Kamala Harris losing support amongst black men? I'm going to spend 10 minutes on this, maybe 15. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's see what he had to say on MSNBC.
Joining us now with more is Reverend Al Sharpton, the president of the National Action Network and host of Politics Nation right here on MSNBC. Rev Al, it's always a privilege to see you, my friend. I want to thank you for being with us this morning. Just wondering, what stood out to you most from your interview with the vice president?
Well, I think what stood out most was her being very clear that she was going to work to earn every vote. There's been the issue raised about black men allegedly moving toward Trump, though I certainly have questioned some of the polls, and I've not seen that on the bus tour that National Action Network has done. There are some black men, but there's always been some that would vote Republican. In the last several cycles, you could see that, including when Barack Obama ran. So I think...
So all of a sudden, Reverend Big Head don't trust the polls. So they all trust the polls and it all makes sense when they decide that it's leaning in their favor. But now that they out here panicking, they begging black men, they going on black men podcasts all of a sudden, they wasn't going on these podcasts prior to. Notice, she never appeared on All the Smoke. She never did any interviews or podcasts or any of that stuff prior to the polls coming out and showing that black men are walking way away. And you start seeing people like me and our Officer Tatum, obviously, he was already out here saying it and he was doing it in the last election and stuff like that. But when you started seeing a large amount of black men that revolted, especially after Obama came in and said what he said, all it did was made us more divisive. And I could have told you leading up to this election that black men was completely out and they was doing their own research to better understand exactly what they wanted to do. And that they were going to defect away from the Democratic Party because it didn't serve them. It absolutely didn't serve them.
And for her to emphasize that I'm not taking anything for granted, I'm going to earn it, even though I dispute what they're trying to allege, I thought that stood out. I also think that it stood out that she sees herself as one that is trying to help people on the ground. Because I said a lot of people don't understand Beltway talk when we say that inflation reduction bill or infrastructure bill. What does it mean? And she broke down exactly what would go to people. And I think that's a real concern that people want to know, what does this have to do with me? So I thought it was a good conversation.
Yeah, and, you know, Al, I want to kind of play for you a little bit of what she told you, play for our audience, a little bit of what she told you about her efforts to garner more support from black men. Listen to this.
I must earn the vote of everyone, regardless of their race or gender. And what can be frustrating sometimes is to have journalists ask me this question as though one should assume that I would just be able to take for granted the vote of black men.
I wonder if she takes for granted the vote of black women. Yes, she does. 100% takes for granted the vote of black women, because black women are coming out in mass, and the first thing that they did was Women for Kamala Harris, AKAs for Kamala Harris, the Divine Nine for Kamala Harris. I wonder if she takes for granted the vote from the sorority that she's a part of that's going to vote for her because they want to stroll to the polls. Come on, man.
I think that's actually an uninformed perspective, because why would black men be any different than any other demographic of voter? They expect that you earn their vote.
You know, Al, it's so she was so clear on this. And the fact that, you know, one should presume that any candidate would take any vote for granted. Do you buy into this narrative, Al, that the vice president is losing support within the black men?
Absolutely not. I mean, as I said, if you look at the data from going back to the 60s, there's always been a percentage of blacks, black men included, that voted Republican. There is no data that says that is going to be more of a black vote Republican this time. I think that this is part of the misinformation that has been put out by the Trump campaign.
Well, nope, it ain't being put out by the Trump campaign. It's put out by independent journalists and independent content creators that are deciding that they no longer want to align with the Democratic Party. And more important than a poll is what I see happening on the streets. And as a person that is doing street interviews, a person that's talking to people every day, a person that's a content creator, a person that pays attention to the comments, a person that's looking at my demographics and things like that, I can tell you that you guys are very much in for a rude awakening come November. Boy, it's going to be crazy.
But let me also add, what has Donald Trump done to say he's going to earn these black votes? He just keeps saying, oh, black folks love me. Oh, but what does he propose?
You know
he said that they saw my mugshot and they related to that. He's going to sell them a Bible for $60 that Gideon gives out free. Where is Donald Trump's policy for black America? She laid it out, from child credit to dealing with health care to dealing with HBCUs. What is his black proposal?
Boy, he don't have to have a proposal, because he already have a track record of making sure that he provide, protect, and continue to assist everybody, which also disproportionately affected black people and black culture in a positive way, which is why we then say that we do want to go back to 2016 versus 2021. It is a completely different landscape, and it's a completely different view. And what I see happening is people getting laid off. Look, don't give me no policies that then align with your talking points that you already done had, and then throw black men and others in front of it, and then give us some weed legalization on a federal level and think that we gonna, that don't affect me. That don't benefit me in any type of way. Y'all giving migrants every single thing from our tax dollars. Y'all giving them free hotels. Y'all giving them food. Y'all helping them buy homes. I see migrants buying homes over in Chicago now all of a sudden. And you think that I'm supposed to just roll with you based off of you rebranding and then spitting in our face? Get the hell out.
Oh, we can go in Project 2025 and get it. They're going to close down the Department of Education. They're going to close down other things we need. And the Supreme Court, that he nominated three of those justices, ended affirmative action and took out a lot of what was left in voting rights. That's his plan for black America. And I think that as black Americans begin to understand it, they will not even reach the levels they reached with other Republican candidates in the past.
And you also, Rev, asked the vice president about Israel's war against Hamas. Here's part of how she responded.
Look, It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But we have got to get this war over with. We got to get the hostages out. We need the war to end. The number of innocent Palestinians that have been killed in Gaza, it's really unconscionable. And we have to be honest about that. And at the same time, listen, I will always stand in terms of Israel's right to defend itself. And we need this war to end.
I mean, Al, I don't think there's anybody on any side that doesn't say we need this war to end, right? I mean, it's so important. But the issues that have been brought forward during this last year of the war in Gaza, and now we're seeing that it's been growing in areas, you know, Lebanon, and I'm thinking of Hezbollah and Iran. How much of an issue do you think, Rev, Hamas and that war is for Democrats going into Election Day?
I think it's an issue to what degree, I don't know, but it's certainly an issue to people like me that are concerned. And I'm glad that she raised about the civilians when I asked her. In Gaza, 41,000 people killed. I denounced, and most civil rights leaders did, when Hamas had the attack on October 7th, and you saw 1,200 people dead.
Listen, nobody cares about what your denouncement was. We don't care about empty promises and empty support and all of that. You know what we care about? Ending funding for wars overseas, stop enabling our enemies to then profit, whereas they didn't even have any money for wars back when Trump was in office. So I just think that it's a huge difference. Yes, I do think that black men are 100% walking away from the Democratic Party. And as a matter of fact, let me pivot right now and let's have that conversation, right? Let's talk about it. Black men are interviewed and they are expressing whether or not they actually align with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel. Let's spend 10 minutes here real quick, y'all.
I think there's something that we all stupid.
Why is she struggling with black men? I feel like her message is disingenuous. She's trying to pander to black people. Just tell us the, and she has a lot of issues underneath her administration. Just be honest about it. Black men aren't a monolith. We vote based on policies too. We don't base on identity. And when she starts to realize that and not trying to play our identity up so much, she might do better.
Well, because a lot of her policies don't make sense. It just don't add up. As far as immigration, a lot of the things that her and Biden have done just don't make sense.
I feel like she coming back on some, here I am now. Where would you?
All of these people are in Detroit. All of these people, that's Detroit right there. I actually catch the train a lot of times right past that. That's the Huntington Center, formerly known as Cobo Hall. All of those people are in Detroit. So when they sit there and they tell you, no, Detroit, no, Michigan, no, Metro Detroit, all of these places, these swing states, we ain't a monolith. I know it's a lot of y'all out there simping. I know it's a lot of y'all out there simping. But not all of us are. Some of us still got our balls. Some people still rocking masculinity. Some people still stand on business. Some of us still stand on business when it comes to what we actually advocate for and the best for our country and the best for our daughters and the best for our sons and the best for our future. And you can't get me by saying that you're going to decriminalize weed at the federal level because I don't smoke. You can't get me with some mythical loan that's a possibility of forgiveness. What are you talking about? What? You can't get me by then pitching me something that's already in existence with child tax credits or some other bull crap. Look, nobody in the black community is looking for a handout as far as black men is concerned. We don't want handouts. Nobody wants ourselves to continue to be tied to the Democratic Party by saying, well, we did this for you. We don't want our women leaving the household. We want an update to family court laws. We want to update to our pocketbooks for us to be able to have the jobs that then pay us a lot, not have to protest for the jobs that would then be eliminated eventually with automation or things that's not beneficial to us. We know what we want. We know what's happening. We ain't grow this old in order to just be ignorant, completely ignorant about the whole situation. We know exactly what we want. And instead of them asking us what will be best for us, you know what they did? They sicked women on us, and then they sicked Obama on us. And Obama says, now I hope that you guys, the brothers, wouldn't reserve their vote because she's a woman. Now don't make me get Michelle on you. We don't care. You can't send no Obama out to us. That ain't our daddy. You know what I'm saying? No, we not stupid, and we know exactly what we want, and you ain't offering it to us, and you never cared about what we thought while you sitting there acting like you actually cared about our vote. You never cared about what we thought because you automatically thought that we had it in the bag.
4 years ago, 3 years ago, you wasn't around. We just not seeing you pop up with a Megan Thee Stallion on the acting like we supposed to just like accept that. No, we can't accept that. That ain't how it is. And then you vote for transgenders. I don't believe in it, but it is what it is, you know. But you ain't helped the black woman or the black man. To me, you just helping anybody that's in your party.
We recognize what Kamala Harris is doing right now.
I don't think black men can relate to Kamala in any way. Trump's a businessman. A lot of black men want to be entrepreneurs. They can relate to Trump and the way they want to make money. They want to have a business, and Trump is really supporting business owners and just the everyday American. I don't see Kamala doing that.
I think they assume that we all stupid because they don't even really come out and campaign really in Detroit because they feel like they have our vote already.
We tired of everything that's going on in the last 4 years. Her policies, she have none. Keeping men out of women's restrooms and sports. American energy, keeping us out of wars. I can keep going.
That we are a monolith, and then they can give us government stipends and marijuana to make us happy. Isn't that what you said on that podcast? Yeah. So,
hey, check it out though. Hey, here's the tripped out part about it. You know what I hear from women a lot of times that then say, "What more do y'all want? What more do y'all want?" And then I hear from men that throw ad hominem attacks because we not voting and we not simping out and we not following y'all to the polls, but we have the ability to think for ourselves. You know what I hear from people? I'm gonna be absolutely honest with you. This is what I hear. I hear y'all only voting for Trump because he gave y'all some stimmy checks. I don't even qualify for that. That ain't even up my lane. That ain't even my steez. That ain't even my play. Y'all just want some more stimmy checks. I didn't even know that Trump gave out stimmy checks, to be honest with you. Had no bearing on me whatsoever. They throw ad hominem attacks when you don't agree with them. That's just the truth.
I guess we're poor, right? Like, as far as, like, if you're black and, you know, you're supposed to be a Democrat and you fall up under the, you know, low income, I guess, part of the slavery African-American notion. But I know that Republicans used to be Democrats, you know, back in the 40s and 50s before what it is today.
They think that they'll believe everything they say. And that's completely wrong because there's plenty of black men here, young black men supporting Trump.
Oh, that comes from lack of understanding of what a black man is struggling. I work for the UAW. I work for Chrysler, Stellantis. So she hasn't done anything for us. And now that I see her, I'm looking at her like, where you at? And now you want to say, what you going to do for the union workers? We middle class. He did a lot for us the first time. So I'm expecting him to do the same thing this time. Last time.
Hey, shout out to dude in the back. Cook, black man, cook.
Maybe you know situations that I thought that you was going to come through. You said, well, as a black woman, I thought you was going to be like, hey, I got the black man because he going to help the black family. But you ain't done none of that. So I don't know.
Black men are not stupid. We are not stupid. They think that we stupid. They look at us as fools. They don't value our vote the way that they should. Then they're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it this November. It's going to be so wild. And people don't even see the wave of red that's coming. They have no clue. And then I see women on the internet and they saying, well, whatever, skip it then. Y'all just want them as y'all daddy. Y'all just want Trump as y'all daddies. You don't care. You just need a new daddy. All right. All right. I got you. Keep thinking that. Keep taking us for granted. Keep on going your own way. Keep doing your own thing, thinking that you got it. Cool. I'm with it. We cool. We with it. Y'all wasn't listening to us before. It wasn't a conversation that y'all wanted to have with us before. Remember when we was having conversations with y'all about relationships and y'all would say, and we would say, what do you bring to the table? And you say, I'm so tired of this question. Or you would say, I am the table. No, you built like a table. And that's cool. And I'm with it. But don't ask us what we think. Don't ask us for insight. Don't ask us for our vote. Don't ask us to participate in the election process. Cool. We just going to see you at the polls in November. While you strolling, we going to roll to the polls. All right? Let me pivot to one more thing before we get up out of here. I wanted to review this video and shout out to Officer Tatum. Shout out to Officer Tatum. I wanted to review this video because I thought that it would be interesting because it came across my feed and somebody sent it to me, but it came across my feed recently after somebody has sent it to me. And he's on this debate tour as a part of Turning Point USA. And it's this black man that's a liberal, since we're going to go ahead and keep the theme. It's a black man that's a liberal that wanted to challenge him in a debate that basically wanted to run in the victim Olympics. And I thought that it would be interesting if we review this. So again, make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's get to it.
Black people in America don't have wealth like money, Dan. And a teacher. Or Tatum Store spent saving the script.
I want you to tell me exactly the point in history where America was great.
You know, as it's a funny. Black man. It point to me a time in history where America wasn't great. Point to tell me where
the
it
birth
starts.
Of America.
This no, America. This, point this, in America where America wasn't
great.
This
country was built on murder and thievery and deception. What do you mean?
Now let me explain this to you real quick. This is for everybody to listen to. Everybody always have this perception that we shouldn't acknowledge America as being great. America started at a certain point and grew and became better over time. No country that you know of was 100% perfect at the foundation. No country.
You
no
didn't
country
answer my
in
question.
The world. No countries in Africa, no countries in Europe. You can name it. Everybody started at a certain point and it became greater
you
over
didn't
time.
Answer my question.
Ever since you've been alive, America has been the greatest it's ever been.
You think so?
100%, brother. You can name somewhere else that's better than America. And why don't you live there?
I'm not sure.
I know you're not sure because they don't exist.
Were they?
Show me somewhere else that's as diverse as America. Anywhere.
As diverse?
That's as diverse.
What does diversity mean if
opportunities
if people are being discriminated
against? People. Show me another country that give opportunities for all people like America.
Do you
does.
Think we have the same opportunity as everybody else, as Who? Black people?
Yeah.
You standing on a college campus with your dreads out, with a red dread, with a Bone Thugs and Harmony earring in your nose like you Tupac, chain on, with your arms out, arguing back and forth on a college campus with white people surrounding you, and I'm trying to understand what opportunity don't you have that other people do? It's people that come over here into this country, and this is why a lot of times people that's from other cultures, they look at us as lazy. They say, man, these people just want to run in the victim Olympics. They don't really want to work. They don't really want to run it up. They sitting on a college campus, can pick any curriculum, can become a doctor. They can become a developer. They can become some sort of engineer. They can become the it's all based off of their effort, but they so busy wanting to run in the victim Olympics. He's sitting there with his lineup on and his earring in his ear, and he talking about being a victim. Get the hell out of here, bro.
100%.
With a 200-year economic head start on us and no
reparations. We're stopping you now. Aren't you at this university?
Yeah.
You're at the university just like all these white people.
Mm-hmm.
How's that any different? Can't you?
I want you to go two blocks that way and tell me where they at.
You can read. You can go to class. Mm-hmm. You can make good grades. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that you're making straight A's.
Mm-hmm.
How is America stopping you from doing that? And how is it stopping
me?
You from being prosperous enough to go down the street and make a difference in your own community? How's America stopping you from doing
it? Why is it my responsibility to make a difference in my community that was sabotaged from the start?
Let's go back to the foundation.
Do you think the CIA planted drugs in our communities?
They didn't make you sell it.
Do you think they...
No, I agree. Do you think they burned down black businesses?
Do you know what Black Hollywood is?
Let's go one at a time. I've heard stories that the CIA planted drugs in the inner city communities. Not every black community, but in some. They still don't make you go and sell drugs to your brother, do they? Why are you not selling drugs right now? Because it doesn't make sense for you to do that. You have an opportunity to go to a university, get an education, and make yourself better and make your family better in the next few generations. Uh-huh. Nobody's stopping us from doing that. I'm sitting on campus right now, and all these people are listening to me.
You know what's stopping
everybody? Stopping me?
Money.
In America, what's stopping you from making money in America?
What the fuck is not stopping us from making money?
You go to the same university as all these white people. Well, how you got a different?
Exactly.
You said what? Excuse me?
We're in debt.
That's our fault.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right?
Okay. We were never given boots to begin with. Let's start with this. I actually went and graduated from a university. So I'm not a guy that didn't go to college. I had a full scholarship, so I didn't pay for school in my undergrad. Graduate school, I paid for out of my pocket. I did not get a loan. I mean, I did not have to get loan forgiveness or nothing like that. I had $11,000 worth of debt, and I paid it. How is that different than anybody else out here?
Because everybody doesn't have the same opportunity.
I'm black, though. How did I pay my loan off, and you can't? Or
where are you from?
Well, I'm from Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Dunbar High School. Right in the hood and stop six. How did I get to this point if America's against me?
Did everybody in your neighborhood get to that point?
Well, different choices. There's a lot of people in my neighborhood that made it out because they made better choices. I could have sold drugs. I didn't. Why? Because I wanted something better out of my life.
What do you say about the disproportionate wealth? Is that... Okay.
When you get these type of people, and let me help y'all to understand this for the people that's not a part of the culture, for the people that's still trying to be victims in the culture, and for people that align with this mindset, it doesn't matter how much money they get. It don't matter how successful they have it. Don't matter how much opportunity that they have. There's people that's watching you that's saying, this is a fool. This is a fool. You know why? Because no matter what, and he's never experienced any racism in real life, and he has the freedom and the opportunity to go and do whatever it is he want to do. You can work as many hours as you want to work. You can study as hard as you want to study. But they so busy looking out the window instead of looking in the mirror. They so busy paying attention to what everybody else got or what they perceive everybody else to have, especially in this social media era, that they not appreciative and they don't take advantage of what's right in front of them. Most people, 99% of people that is alive today in this country that is under the age of 60, whatever it is that their life became, chances is it's because it's a self-inflicted wound or they chose to do the right thing. It's all choice. I didn't sell drugs. I decided to get married early. I decided to be intentional and not have no children out of wedlock. Life hits me too. Even the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Listen, most of the white people that I know are poorer. Way poorer than me. What head start do they have? And how do I have the privilege to then be able to hold them accountable for things that they don't even know what happened in the past as far as who their ancestors are? We so busy running in the victim Olympics, but not me, not the chasers, not the people that subscribe to this, not the people that's a part of the bag chasers and the Patreon, not the people that's coming to kick it with me at the show. You know what we do? We running it up. We going to get that bag. We taking care of business. This is every talking point that he's giving you. It's not even something that he's experienced. This is something that's been planted into him. You know how I know? Because it's the same talking points that everybody else use on the internet in order to justify their argument, but they have no real life experience in it. This is the only place, black community, racism, culture, it's the only place where you can exist and become a victim without actually having to go through it. We qualify people to become financial gurus or we call them a fraud. You qualify people to say you a gangster or we call them fake. We say that people that get caught rapping something that's not in their rhymes, we say they a studio gangster, CB4. You can't even practice law or you can't go and represent an attorney or represent a client as an attorney without a license. You can't practice medicine without a license, without going to school, without being successful, without getting the good grades and accepted into a greater university. This is the only place where you can become a victim without an actual crime perpetuated against you. It's crazy.
Okay. Does that not matter?
It's about culture. How much money do you save?
I don't know. I'm in debt, bro.
You in debt. How much do you invest?
I don't know.
How did you get into debt? Who chose to come here?
Me.
But that's, you laid it out. Now,
exactly. I chose to go to a community college in order to minimize the amount that I had to pay per credit hour. He chose to go to that university.
When you come here, for every college student here, this should be an investment into your future.
Right.
Anybody that know anything about making money knows that you have to invest to get to the next step. You may be in debt to make an investment to get to the next step. So if you do this properly, this is a debt investment to make more money in the future. If you come here and clown around and take a major that won't put you anywhere, then you just got into debt for no doggone reason. It's a cultural thing. Black people in America don't have wealth like others because they choose not to generate wealth through investments and passing their money down.
Who's teaching us to do this?
We should teach each other to do it. Why does somebody got to teach? You want the white man to teach us?
We learn everything else that we want to know from everything else that we want to do when it's convenient for us. Hey, go Boss Man D-Lo. Hey, how much? What's Mr. 17.5? How much is a key? How much is a quarter key? How much is a gram? We figure out anything. We memorize lyrics. We play video games all day. We do what we want. We get all of the hoes if we want them. We do what we be on the internet all day and we look at BS instead of looking at things that's fruitful. Well, not the chasers that's here, but instead of looking at, most people look at things that's not fruitful for their lives because they so willing to be entertained and they are, man, listen, I'm done with the victim Olympics. Let me see if there's anything else that this guy is actually going to say that makes sense because Officer Tatum is cooking right now.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, hell, teach us something.
Okay, no, you could teach something. You got a college, you could get in a college education. When you have children, teach your children.
So basically help yourselves. We know you have this 200-year head start.
That
we know
doesn't matter, bro. You don't have nothing to do with it. You don't have nothing to do with that.
Oh.
You don't have nothing to do with that.
I thought you said one at a time.
You don't have nothing to do with that.
I don't have nothing to do with what?
The 200 years that you're talking about.
Yes, I do. Have you ever heard of generational trauma, generational wealth? My people don't own anything.
Where you come from?
You can't help people that decide that they want to be victims for the rest of their life. That's just the way that it is. You got to let them fall. You got to let them be what they're going to be. And it is what it is. Listen, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Hopefully y'all watching this with me at the same time. And you continuing to get the value, you know we don't miss. Make sure that you tap in tonight, not as the recording of this video, but as of the watching of this video. Tap in tonight, after hours, we getting it in. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Y'all the greatest audience on earth. I'ma holler at y'all later. Peace.